Blog Talk Radio.
Ourselves a break in July and August, and we, the universe permits, return every September after the religious holiday. And tonight is June the 27th, Tuesday 2023, and this is Ralph Pointer of What's Happening Blog Talk Radio. One of the things we are thinking about tonight is that before I read the theme, we want you to take a deep breath and think about the year. And we want you to think about speaking just a little bit to some of the major incidents or issues that occurred that you think you should flag for our community. You know, Darwin said, you can't survive if you don't study and see patterns in nature and in the universe so that you can anticipate and plan ahead. So just think about that, warning people what occurred and really needs to and deserves much attention. However, to continue, our theme tonight is we need to organize the people to put an end to all forms of corrupt leaders, that is unions, religions, politicians, and oh yes, the pseudo-left. as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to say, the so-called left. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Comrade Ralph, and we might have a slight change in our usual schedule tonight because a couple of our comrades are not well, and we want to acknowledge that we need their presence, but we don't want to prolong their pain. And we want you all to say a word to the universe for our comrade Julia Wright as well within that context, who could not be with us, but hopefully will be returning in September. Throughout, again, July and August, we will be replaying some of our more excitable recordings. We're not off the air. We're not gone. We just will be playing some of the recordings that were archived. And so without further ado, thank you for your patience, Brother Ralph. The mic is yours.
Well, thank you so much, Sister Betty, because there is so much to discuss that is affected and will be more intrusive and more dangerous in the coming months. We are working constantly to make things better, but those of us who do that work can overwork ourselves. We need a brief respite to gather our thoughts and perhaps spend time face-to-face enjoying each other and working through political philosophies and actions for the coming years. But now we have to go to the basics, that is, organize people to put an end to all forms of corrupt leadership, that is, in unions, religions, the politicians that are selected for us, and the pseudo-left. And I must warn people, no, I must repeat what others have told us. Father Lucas said there are those among us who will lick the dirty end of any stick that our oppressors put to their lips.
Actually, he said, some of them, there's no stick they won't lick.
Okay. Thank you so much for that, Sister Betty. But I think you get the point. And they are licking the stick, and we as political people must remind them. And it just strikes me, I says, well, what did you find that was so outrageous in my quest to make things better for our community? And one of the first things was actually community control of education. And we had our corrupt political leaders in Harlem, Percy Sutton, the group, Charles Rangel, the group they call themselves. And they said to me, but Ralph, you're breaking the law. And my answer was, slavery and pseudo-slavery is the law, and you better break it. And, of course, these are our corrupt leaders. We didn't have a black principal in the city of New York until we fought in the streets in 1965 to put in the first four black principals. It was breaking the law. And these idiots would look at me and say, Ralph, we can't talk about education because education is civil service, and as politicians, we can't interrupt civil service. Now, you know how stupid that is. But that's what they were saying. Never mind that everybody else was breaking the law of civil service, putting in their friends, their cousins. Anybody who wasn't black was making money in the New York City Board of Education. And I believe at the time, and you can look this up, 1962, 65, around $20 billion. Contracts, my brothers and sisters. Every school is an economic institution, no different than a factory. And every community has a budget for that economic institution. And it all goes to people out of the community. But in the early years, I raged against the politicians when they voted to put our prisons upstate. And I'm saying, are you crazy? A prison is an industry. It puts people to work. It puts people to work building them, etc. And the ministers, the Christian ministers came out and said, Ralph, we don't want the people in the prisons to be for our children to see them. Well, inside myself, I would say, hey, stupid, who are these people? They're our sons, our daughters, our sisters, our brothers. We do want them, and we want the jobs that involved in keeping them in the institution, in our community. But I didn't say that. I said, we need to have our families close to us so that you can possibly teach them the way. I lied because I don't think they could teach anything. Couldn't teach a cat to drink milk. They didn't understand. Or they licked that dirty stick that the Democrat and Republican parties handed them. So they took our children and the industry that was a prison industry and moved it out of our communities. The money for that was gone. The jobs were gone. And I like to remind them, as a group, the religious community supported prisons upstate. They didn't know that every place where there's a prison, the bus companies charge more. Every place where there was a prison, the phone companies charge more. Every place that there was a prison, the hotels and the motels charge more. They destroyed the family through the prison industry. Who did it? Our political representatives, and I remind them that this is what they did. And I could go on for the rest of the program because I want you to remember what you were working on to stop these liars, these I will be the rest of the program talking about it. But you will tell us what we must do. And I'm serious about that. When we get together face to face, quietly, in a place where we don't have to worry about the man, and we try to sort out those people who do not work for our community, but maybe pretend to, or maybe do not understand how this system works, how the money works. And I've been talking about the money for contracts, and I just have to say it one more time. It's in my system. Every school is an economic industry, and think if you controlled that, if we controlled that in our communities, we would control not only the education, but the economy of our community. We would be on our way in every community to developing a Tulsa, because we would have our rightful taxes returned to our community. 10,000 Tulsas in America, and the understanding that you had to protect them. We have to protect them from this system that does not intend us any good. And to me, and I'll finish with this, is the gentleman in Florida, DeSantis, says there were no people here before the Europeans came. And we don't want to teach anything that makes people feel uncomfortable, makes our children feel uncomfortable. And I almost agree with him. Almost, because the reality of slavery was so vicious and cruel that as I learned more about it, and I'm near 90 years old, how come I didn't know this? Each new fact that I learned, and I says, because it was intended that I not learn it, that we not learn it. And so it makes me uncomfortable. Of course it's going to make you uncomfortable, but I must know it, and so must you, and we must go beyond that. And what is beyond that? It is our credo. And it is our credo with concerned parents and community organizations that Sister Betty, Sister Lynn, and I wrote. I will not read it to you, but it says, without regard to race, religion, gender, etc. Without regard to that, we progressive people must recognize each other as brothers and sisters, and we are few who have this in our hearts. And the last thing, to abolish miseducation in New York City, to abolish the Central Board of Education, we are organized on the principles that abolished slavery over 100 years ago. We understand that miseducation equals the new slavery. And it goes on to say, the words of the Declaration of Independence, we now pick up that banner to struggle. We being all people of goodwill and moral convictions without regard to race, religion, class, age, or gender. My brothers and sisters, that's our credo. It is then, it is now, it must be always, and this is how we will beat this corrupt system, because the corrupt system has been supported and run with situations based on class, based on age, based on color, based on gender. No, we are going to beat that because we are looking at a situation that we have never looked at before. And without going further, I'm going to say, my brothers and sisters, Sister Betty, let us continue the discussion until we meet again. And as Queen Mother Moore said to me so many years ago, your only reward, if you're going to do this work, is the people who have the courage and the strength and the understanding to do it with you. Look forward to holding hands, debating, discussing, arguing about what we must do to become a free people. And who or whom are these people that we are talking about? Sister Betty.
Thank you, Brother Ralph. We're revising our usual schedule. Instead of the poet, immediately we're going to call on Comrade Karen Jones. She's going to give us a regional update. She's been in an area that, as far as I'm concerned, has been subjected to terrorism, neglect, and genocidal tendencies. So Sister Karen Jones is not well, and we welcome her, and we thank her for sacrificing her health to be on this evening. Sister Jones, your mic is open. She's with whom?
Good afternoon, everybody. Karen Jones, calling in from Montgomery, Alabama. Just returning from Louisiana, New Orleans, in Operation Love Prep for a community disaster preparedness. We were making boxes and buckets of items for Mississippians and Louisianians who need disaster prep. And as I was traveling from Montgomery to New Orleans, I was looking in the sky. I was telling one of the organizers, I'm on my way, but this cloud looks funny. Actually, it looks like a tornado. And then when it started circulating, going in a circle of motions, I hit the gas really fast. And when I passed through it, all of our phones went off. It was an emergency alert, and it was a tornado. It was flooding Biloxi and Gulfport Way. So when we got to New Orleans building it, the third day when we were going out to take, the fourth day when we went out to take the supplies out, primarily to senior citizens in rural areas. One lady, an elderly sister, came up, and she was just thankful, with tears in her eyes. And she said, "We had a hailstorm the other day. We don't have power. We still don't have power. They haven't come out to fix our power. All our food is gone. It's hot. The power is out." And I think it brought up emotions from Katrina and other natural disasters, and just to experience that and give hope, because we were there on a mission to prepare people we didn't even know for a disaster, thinking it wouldn't be that soon, and it was. So I'm grateful that we were able to assist while we were there, and we'll be doing more. I'm actually planning Climate Week Alabama, September the 17th. Through September 24th of this year, in kind of conjunction with what you all do in New York for Climate Week. But I'm with Alabama Gulf South for a Green New Deal, and the Gulf South Green New Deal itself reasonably consists of Texas, Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, Florida, and Puerto Rico. So we've been working together on a lot of climate justice, social justice issues collectively as a region and individually as states. And as I was listening to the beginning of the show, Mr. Ralph, I had court this morning, and if you don't mind, I just want to, because I live in Alabama, and you all have to understand, although it's 2023, we're operating off of the longest constitution in the United States of America, and this is still on the books of the Alabama Constitution. It's called White Supremacy by Law, and it says, quote, "But if we would have white supremacy, we must establish it by law, not by force or fraud. If you teach your boy that it is right to buy a vote, it is an easy step for him to learn to use money to bribe or corrupt officials or trustees of any class. If you teach your boy that it is right to steal a vote, it is an easy step for him to believe that it is right to steal whatever he may need or greatly desire. The results of such an influence will enter every branch of society. It will reach your bank cashiers and affect positions of trust in every department. It will ultimately enter your courts and affect the administrations of justice." That's in our Constitution. They didn't remove it. The only thing that has changed in Alabama is the corruption has trickled over to black people, doing it to black people, and that's real black on black crime. We have our first black mayor who has issued out so much of white injustice, it ain't even funny. He had Fire Rose Terray and myself strip searched while we were doing direct action in front of state capitol. He didn't do it to the white male or the males in general. They didn't get strip searched. We submitted ourselves. All I did was spray painted Black Lives Matter in front of our state capitol. Misdemeanor offense, and it was during COVID. This black man, who's the first black male, has threatened to cause physical harm against me. he gets on CNN, he goes to D.C., and everybody thinks he is such a great guy. But when I tell you, Mr. Rapp, you nailed it. When you said that these politicians, that's what they are. They are shysters. They're corrupt. And it's here in my city, my county, my state. It's not about anymore so much of black and white, red, white, and blue. It's about the rich versus the poor. Classism. And I have seen this much of a corruption, political corruption, as I have seen under his administration. The new congressional district was formed. They also, in this city, they have a co-op district. But it's gentrification by another name. And it was incorporated by one black guy. You know, they always got to have one. And it's shameful how they were supposed to develop this District 3 and 4, the city of Montgomery. But they put this white water park there. The white water park. They're on phase one, not two and three, just one. I did a Facebook Live, and I kind of sort of cuss a little bit. And I think I cussed from can to tank last week, and I've been cussing for the last two or three weeks because essentially the people of the city of Montgomery will have to pay, foot the bill for this. Initially, the governor was going to inject $35 million from the Education Trust Fund to a white water park. Yet I'm helping families out here because the rent is so high. When I got back to town, I had two mothers, one with a one-year-old baby living in a hotel, her 15-year-old son just getting out the hospital, another woman who's living with her two children, young adults, in a hotel, and it's many more. So I'm cooking food, taking out there, trying to rustle up money for them day by day, but these foreigners have taken over the hotels here in Montgomery, and they charge egregious fees, even if they want extra kitchen or refrigerators in their room. This is how crazy it is. But we have black leadership here. We got our first black mayor. Our black sheriff is all right. Black chief of police came from New Orleans, and he has some pending open cases for corruption. We should have had a majority on this city council because we're the majority. Demographics has shifted. We're the majority in the city and the majority in the county. I fight for equitable funding. I've been talking about ARPA funding and IRA funding so they can inject that money where it's supposed to go in the underserved communities. These individuals, subhumanoids, and I could go on, put 6.2 million in an elite side of town for a YMCA pickleball. Who knows what pickleball is? Lacrosse, extreme frisbee, and racquetball. I'm like, who black you know does all of this? $6.2 million, yet they closed the Salvation Army down. We don't have a mental hospital, but one like for extreme cases. But it is the craziest thing I have seen under black leadership, Peace Corps leadership. They're taking money from what's supposed to help our people. And you can't say, oh, it's the Republicans. No. Because our black Democrats have shown out so badly because they want that elitist status. And that's a problem I have, we're having in our city, in our county of Montgomery. Not so much the white people. They're not my concern. My concern, my sisters and brothers. And when we're in majority population, and they have become the black leadership well worse than the Republicans. They are funneling money through this white water park, and I broke it down on my live 2 weeks ago, but not until a white former senator broke it down on the radio the other day. Now black people are beginning to get it because some of them still have the mentality what's white is right. If a white person said they believe it. And I'm ready for all the pushback that's about to come. We're about to have municipal elections August 22nd. With this new congressional district, I foresee the mayor running for that seat and a lot of people. And it was a good thing to create, but that doesn't mean that you're going to get another black congressperson. We have one black congresswoman, Congress Terry Sewell. She is very active, but we needed another congressional district for the people. Right now, with all the corruption going on, most people think, oh, we need somebody black in there. Not when they're giving white justice to us, white injustice to us. I went to court this morning. By the ticket, the white male police officer, he was profiling, targeting me April 25th, following me. The men from the city sanitation department were next to me. I already saw him. They said, he's been running your tag. I said, I know, I've been watching him for about three or four streets. He told the people I was texting and driving. He told me, I threw the ticket back at him. Called him some choice words because I know he was profiling, targeting me today because I wanted a trial. The black judge, he has changed the court rules now. We can't, women, we can't take purses in court. But men can, okay? Not purses, but they can carry wallets. I'm like, we're going through a body scan, and they used to go through your purses anyway to check for weapons. So why aren't women being allowed to carry purses, but men can carry their wallets? We can't wear smart watches. They do not have a court reporter. And so we are living in a time where it was supposed to be our most opportune time. This city and county hadn't even spent up the COVID funding that was sent here. And I keep telling people, that's how little they think of you. We have so much of COVID money. I had to interrupt a press conference that the mayor was having to force him to, number one, make his Jump Street unit, we call them Jump Street, police officers that go around jumping out and physically fighting people and arresting primarily black men. Then I fought for the sanitation workers to get hazardous pay off that COVID money. Why is so much of COVID money left? So anyway, it should be gone if you really were protecting us or trying to protect us. So as I go before this black judge, I say, I need you to recuse yourself. He said, why? You should have said that. I said, on this order, your name wasn't given. Otherwise, I would have been asked you to recuse yourself. He said, why? I wasn't ever your attorney. I raised a judicial inquiry complaint against Judge Hank. We called him Hang'em Hayes, white judge who locked up poor people for their inability to pay tickets. I've seen him to make mothers come with their kids, come give their baby to their mama and lock them up when they say they can pay on a Wednesday. I just got this job. I can pay you on a Friday. When I get my first check and my student loan come, I can pay it all off. He said, no, I want all my money. And your mama can come back Friday. He was a low-down man.
Well, so, I'm going to have to interrupt you because you are telling us what is happening all over the country. And the most important thing I believe that you have said is we have to be collective and together. The city councils in all of our communities, in New York especially, We have one city councilman, Charles Barron, who stands for the people, and the Democratic Party is going after him a tooth and nail. But what is our future? And our future is based on these words that I started out with. We, being all people of goodwill and moral convictions, without regard to race, religion, class, age, or gender, we must support each other. And good sister, continue to fight. Never mind the program. Call me. You have my cell phone. If you feel there's something I can do in these 2 months that we may be apart, but we're looking that maybe within these 2 months I will meet you. And so, so much for that. Thanks for giving us a reality check. That's what you gave us, a reality check based on your work. Sister Betty.
I want to apologize again. We're doing it on a different schedule because Sister Karen, you can understand why she's not well. Her struggle is so intense and so fierce. But she is with an organization known as Whom It Concerns Incorporated. I hope you will Google that. And Sister Karen, I want you to feel free when you develop your flyers for your conference that's coming up that you send it to Sister Ann, New York City, Jericho, and she will make sure it gets on the national listserv. I also want to say we're honored to have the chairperson of National Jericho on the call tonight. And I'm sure he, if you have the energy to wait a few moments, he will tell you about the Spirit of Mandela Senate that we are having. And you definitely need to participate in one of our southern regional senates and give an attachment, give a testimony before one of these senates, because this is a pattern across this country, what you have testified today. And you need to testify to this. And like I said, Sister Karen Jones is with Whom It Concerns Incorporated. Sister Jones, do you want to give them a contact number? And I will be emailing and texting to you the next Senate that comes up. And then we do have to move on. And I thank you so much.
I thank you all for your time. I can be reached at area code
0025. Are we correct?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The organization is Whom It Concerns Incorporated, and when you have your ecology conference, which is for us a human issue because these floods are caused by global warming. This extreme weather is caused by global warming, which is a function of the super rich destroying the planet for profit, unbridled greed. So you know I will stay in touch. You know I bug you all the time to find out how you're doing. So we follow up. And I just want you to Google Jericho, National Jericho. You will also see, and Spirit of Mandela, you will see about the Senates that come up. And you can bring anybody you want to testify, you know, on your behalf if you have not recovered by then. As I said, we're sort of out of sequence tonight, and I apologize for that, but we are extending the program. We are very, very much concerned for Sister Karen Jones. And one of the things I want to do is give a shout-out to the brothers who practice Islam in her area because she says from time to time when she is focused on and followed by the terrorists in cars, the brothers come out and they have her back. So we commend your courage, we commend your stamina, and we want you to take care of yourself. All right? You have our number. You have Brother Ralph's number. You know you can call us at any time. And it's, I hate to turn you loose, but we've got to move on because we've got a lot of people who want to give their reports. Just know we love you, and we wish you the strength of recovery. And thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. Okay, we have our poet in the house, and we always honor Sister Lynn by having our poet. So before we go to Comrade Dennis and Brother Jihad, we want to check out our poet. He was on. I hope he didn't have to get off. It looks like he had to get off. So we will go to Brother Jihad and have him give us an update because we know he may be calling from South Africa. I don't know what his schedule is like.
Open his mic.
So Brother Jihad, I think your mic is open.
My mic is open. All right. Thank you, Sister Betty and Brother Ralph, and peace and greetings. Assalamu alaikum to everybody listening. If I'm not mistaken, is this the last program for the season?
What did you say?
Does your schedule change after this tonight's program?
This is the last program for 2 months.
For the blog. This is the blog radio program. BAI, we will still be on BAI.
That's
matter
Wednesday.
Of fact, Charles Barron is going to be on with us tomorrow night. So we hope everybody that's on this call will call in and salute Charles Barron. However, for the blog, we will be playing some of our best programs from our collection of recordings for July and August, and we'll return in September after some of the New York religious holidays. Brother John, we're all ears for your report. Give us our marching orders.
Okay, indeed. Well, making it as succinct as I can, I just wanted to give a report on an initiative for those who do not know. It's called the People's Senate, and this is giving birth from the 2021 International Tribunal that was held in October at the Malcolm X Betty Shabazz Educational Cultural Center there, Mr. Beto Audubon, where we had a tribunal charging the United States government with the genocide of black, brown, and indigenous people. We had an international panel of 9 jurists. We had a 91-page indictment of assembling the facts of which we already know. I mean, we are proving what's already being understood and what we've been experiencing for the last 400 years. So when we say genocide, we're talking about slow genocide. Normally when you think of genocide, you're talking about something that started here and ended there, and just how many people were slaughtered, and these are the war criminals. But when it talks about the genocide of black, brown, and indigenous people, it's been going on actually for over 400 years. And we've become normalized to our own demise in whole or in part. But as a result of that tribunal and the result of the guilty verdict, one of the stellar initiatives is the development of a People's Senate. And very briefly, and hear me closely, this Senate, this initiative deals with recognizing the many, many, many organizations across this country that are doing the work in our communities, the boots on the ground work in our community, that deals with police violence, that deals with mass incarcerations and long-term solitary confinement and the death penalty and the ridiculous 13th Amendment, that deals with the housing of political prisoners and prisoners of war, that deals with environmental racism and how it impacts people of color more adversely than anybody on the planet, and that deals with the racism in the public health sphere, that we cannot get adequate medical care. We're traumatized. There's no remedy for that because the conditions continue to exist in the community. Any organization across the United States of America that deals with any of those issues for our people, the People's Senate is seeking them out. Once we populate in one area, meaning populate, meaning to say that these organizations join on to the Senate, then we'll organize caucuses in that area. They will nominate their own delegates. Out of those delegates, they will be able to elect their senators for that area. Imagine that in the area, in New York area, for example, the Northeast happening. Then the same thing is happening in the Southeast, the Southwest, the West, the Midwest. Once these areas are populated enough, we will be able to nominate our own delegates and then have our own senators. Those senators will meet regularly to be able to look at, you know, the main issues in different regions and to be able to share resources, to amplify messages that need to be amplified across the country, because anybody that signs onto this network will be privy to that information. So, for example, when we talk about Cop City, for what's happening in Cop City and the institutionalized fashion in this country, how can we get more people to respond? You know, they can do it through a network called the People's Center. When we talk about climate and the water issues in Mississippi and St. Louis, wherever the case may be, the same thing will be happening with the police killing. All these things, we'll be able to have a better microphone to be able to address them across the country. Sisters and brothers, this network is very important. We don't have this network. What we do have, and on the best paid community organizations, we have growing people's assemblies, but we're not networked into each other. And there's an old African proverb. And when horses, or some say elephants, fight, the grass underneath gets trampled. We have to form a better network amongst ourselves as working class people, people of color in this country. We have to be focused and intentional about doing that, and we have not done that. And then guess what? It is 2023. And so while our enemies, while the colonialists, while the white supremacists are constantly circling their wagons, solidifying their forces, we are still in our own silos doing what we're doing. And I applaud those organizations that are still working in the community. We just don't have a network that's going to bridge the gap between what's happening in Northeast, Southeast, Midwest, West Coast. So this Senate seeks to do that. So we ask for your participation in it. We meet regularly. Once a month, there's a public meeting on the third Saturday. You can tune into, and this is the information I want to leave you with, spiritofmandela.org. We have a fantastic website that gives you all of this information. This is the biggest and broadest and revolutionary network initiative that we've had probably, I don't even remember when. You know, I've been in the movement since I was 16 and the Panther Party, whatever. This is what we need today. This is what's already happening. It is not just an idea. It is already happening. I just left for the National Black Radical Organizing Conference in Atlanta, Georgia this weekend, where there were hundreds of organizations and representatives there that are looking at joining on to the People's Senate. So don't want you to be tardy or remiss this effort. So you can tune in. You can tune into the website, spiritofmandela.org, and get all the information that you need. It does not require you to change anything about what you're doing. You don't have to pay a dime. All you have to do is sign in, and we'll network you in with resources and information and other organizations that you may not even have an idea that even exists. It's a win-win-win for anybody that joins on to this initiative. And so we're asking for your involvement for you to be attuned with that. And I hope I've explained that succinctly to everybody. We're very excited about it. So on the heels again of the tribunal that we had 2 years ago, this is the profound initiative that's come out of it and has sustained itself thus far. We're talking about governance, sisters and brothers. We're not just talking about dealing with an issue. We're talking about governance in a place called the United States of America. And what does that look like? So become a part of this revolutionary initiative that's going on right now. Log on to the website, spiritofmandela.org. And I thank my dear comrades, Ralph Pointer and Betty, Sister Betty. And thank you for giving me the time with the microphone. And if there's any questions, I'll be online to answer them if they come up. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you so much for the information. Normalized genocide for 400 years is a war on ourselves. And as history and as the future, this must be recognized and dealt with. Thank you for that so much.
Brother Jihad, Sister Karen Jones was on. She did hear your announcement. And as I said, if you Google her organization, it will come up. She's also planning an event. I'm sure she would appreciate if we have any Jericho or Spirit of Mandela people in that region of Alabama. I assume that's where you're going to have it. Is it going to be held in Alabama, Sister Karen?
Yes.
Okay. Attention should be paid to this region and what's going on. Definitely. So thank you, Brother Jihad. We really appreciate you for getting on in such a timely moment. And Sister Karen, we thank you for taking the time to give us that extensive report. You know our mic is open to you at any time. Also, when you send me any kind of an email, I always try to forward it to Sister Ann Lamb so we can get our New York organizations aware of anything that you need for support. We're going to move right along. Brother Congo had a speaking engagement, so although he was on, he had to get off. And so we're going to cut him some slack for that because I'm not going to turn him loose. But without further ado, I see Sister Ann Lamb was able to get on. We're going to open her mic and then go to Brother Dennis because we know he's had some health challenges. And we see Joel. We haven't heard from him in a long time. We hope Joel will hang in there as well. And we're not going to forget Brother Jan. He's promising us something very special. Okay, Sister Ann, we're glad you were able to make it. Your mic is on.
Oh, thank you so much, Sister Betty, Brother Ralph. It's always an honor to be in your company, along with everybody else who speaks on this lovely blog. I will be missing it over the summer, although I'll be happy to listen to past ones. I know they're very good. Well, we are continuing talking about the death camps. To urge people to call in for our brother, Ed Poindexter. Ed Poindexter has been in prison for 50 years for a crime that he did not commit. He and his co-defendant Mondo were totally framed up and railroaded in a classic COINTELPRO case. Make no question about it. So there are a couple of things you can do in addition to making these calls. There's a lovely short video of Ed's niece and sister when they spoke at the April 26, 2023 UN EMLA hearing in Atlanta. And all these links are up on JerichoNY.org and thejerichomovement.com. You can check that out. And also recently heard from our dear friend, Sister Tekla. She was able many moons ago when Mondo was still alive to go into the prison and do some extensive interviews with both of these brothers. So she just put up a short piece. I think it's about 8.5 minutes of Ed speaking in his own voice, talking about things like childhood and, you know, being young and being black, we're growing up under Jim Crow. Very interesting. So people should check it out. You can see that Ed, of course, was in much better shape at that time than he is now physically. So Ed is still dealing with all the problems that we know he has, the amputation of the left leg below the knee. If people want to write to him, I would really encourage you to do so, but you have to write in 18-point or larger font because I guess we should demand, as long as we're demanding it, that they operate on the cataract as well. We want people to call the warden boy of the reception and treatment center where he is. That number is 402-471-2861. We want people to call Director Rob Jeffries. He's the director of the Nebraska so-called Department of Corrections. 402-471-2654. And the acting medical director is Jeff Castleman, MD. And he can be reached at 402-479-5931. You can also write to these folk. You can email some of them. You can fax them. We put all the information up on JerichoNY.org. It's right on the front page. You don't have to look for it. You see the pictures of Ed as he was when he was young and as he was a few years ago when he was still able to walk with a cane. So since he's in the so-called medical center and is not receiving adequate medical care, as we know is a recurring theme in all of these places, his family has asked us and his legal team has asked us to really do a campaign to get Ed his adequate medical care, right? So we have a leading the sample message if you call or you can write it, and you can, of course, change it around as you want. Ed is on dialysis several days a week. He is currently wheelchair-bound, so he's not getting the amount of direct support that he needs in order to shower, change his clothes, and so on. So we are joining Ed's family in demanding that Ed be given appropriate medical care. including providing appropriate medical assistance for Ed, who cannot get out of his wheelchair, arranging for Ed to be fitted for a prosthetic leg and receive physical therapy. If that would happen, he probably could get out of his wheelchair. Expediting a doctor's visit to fit Ed for hearing aids because he's going deaf. He had a visit recently from a legal visit, and he said to his attorney, "I can't hear a word you're saying. Let's play dominoes." So, you know, he really cannot hear. And it would also be nice, it would be allowed, that when visitors come to see people, elderly prisoners, instead of making them sit across a 3-foot table, let the visitors sit next to the people, and also allow normal contact, which is normally never allowed, such as putting your arm around someone's shoulder while you're talking in their ear, and allow people to have visits inside the skilled nursing facility instead of having to come all the way to the visiting room, and then maybe if they're tired or they want to go back, you know, to their room or whatever it is, they have to wait, you know, they have to wait for the count, they have to wait for this, they have to wait for that. So, you know, it's a problem. So really, folks, you know, Ed has dedicated his entire life, you know, to the struggle. If you go to the JerichoMovement.com profile on Ed, you will be amazed at the amount of work that Ed has done from inside the prison walls, from inside the death camp, all the educational work, all of the mentoring of younger folk, all of the work to stop, you know, violence within the community. So really, really important that we take the time, a few minutes a day, to make these phone calls or write these letters, send these emails, because the only way that these people respond, and we know it because it's happened time and time and time again, we have to keep the pressure on. Otherwise, they will do nothing. So that's my report for tonight. What's the call? Freedom All.
Together. I won't go into how I feel about that.
Together, we must be united.
You make it real for everyone. Sister Betty.
Okay, one of the things I want everybody to do on this call, anytime you hear somebody say they're for reparations, tell them they're not for reparations. The political prisoners are not number one. Before any kind of discussion, before any kind of money, free our warriors. Thank you, Sister. Thank you. We're going to move right along. Brother Dennis, your mic is open. Comrade Sierra, welcome.
Uhuru, uhuru. And I'm so grateful for you all to have me on. Even though we get ill, we must keep fighting. These things are our realities. To free is to fight for it. You have to take freedom. I was on a call with Comrade G.I. tonight, the international campaign to free Kamal Siddiqui right now. And we must free all of our comrades, political prisoners, even those who aren't political prisoners, because a lot of this situations that go down are based on what? Slavery. And they're taking us, hoisting us every day to take us off the streets by any means necessary, just as they are right now with Chairman O'Malley yesterday telling us. We all know we're in the fight for our lives. And the only way to do that is we must become a collective, no matter what our differences are. We're in the same struggle, the same boat. It'll be him today and me tomorrow. That's how we have to really look at these things. I want to make a couple of real strong announcements. I want everybody, in order to get involved with the free Comrade Siddiqui, go to aolservice.pantherchep, that's S-H-E-P, cat, C-A-T, at aol.com. I'll say that again. Go to AOL Service, Panther, Shelk, Cat, C-A-T, all one word, at AOL.com. Tonight we had a meeting where the attempt is to get the preachers back together like they used to do before the 501c3 to help free the prisons, help free these prisons all over the world as a collective, because we're in a fight again for our lives, and we need to take really strong note of that. It could be Chairman O'Malley tomorrow and me the next day and you the next day following. That's how they're picking us off. Also, I would like to commend Brother Jihad for mentioning of the People's Senate. And, of course, in order to help with the Uhuru movement and helping to keep the chairman out of prison as much as possible, he's facing 15 years, I want everybody to go to www.handsoffuhuru.org, where it mentions events up and coming. Also, it gives detail on what we can do individually in terms of taking action. Fundraising toolkits involved, it's in that packet. The signing of the petition and emergency response alert sign-ups. In other words, in terms of what's going on, to stay informed, sign up for the emergency response. Also, please sign up to donate right now to keep the defense fund going for Chairman Omalia Centella, for Penny Hess, and Comrade Jesse Neville. And tomorrow they're going to be attacking, or they are attacking, Charles Barron. So what does this mean? What does this mean? That means we must begin to solidify, just like with Karen Jones. Karen Jones, we all need to be there with Karen Jones. I got to agree. I'm really grateful for her stance. She's strong and powerful. She's a leader. And we need to stand behind these leaders that stand for us, like you, Comrade Betty Davis and Ralph Warner. You're very strong and powerful. We need to stand behind you and shore this thing up. Ann Lamb, we need to stand behind you. We all is one, as you said. And I want to thank you for allowing me to come on, even though I have my issues. Whatever way I can help, all I need is for you to call and say, this is what I need you to do. My name again is Sayero. I'm going to miss this, but there's a lot going on, and we all need to work as a collective. I say this because I mean that. The only way we're going to end this thing is to take what we need. Uhuru.
Uhuru, I just want to say that Sayero, Brother Sayero, never misses our WBAI program, and he makes some of these announcements. They are just as he makes it here. And so you, anybody on this call, is welcome to do that, especially when a crisis comes down like Cop City. And like I said before, no matter what happens, Charles Barron is our black politician. He's a true African, and we got his back. We want to go to another brother who is a warrior on the front lines for our political prisoners. Brother Tag, thank you for waiting, but we felt we had to get Sister Karen's voice out there. Your mic is open. And thank you for getting on with us this evening.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and Uhuru. And I'm, as always, I'm loving just the building that goes on this broadcast. As has been mentioned, you will certainly be missed in these months, but we know y'all keep it moving. And so we'll check for you where we can find you on the airwaves and otherwise. So just greatly appreciate that y'all can make the space before the brief hiatus. And I just want to continue to build, and particularly to point toward some People's Senate activities that we have coming up. So Brother Jihad laid out very clearly and strongly what the People's Senate is about and our aims and objectives. And part of that approach is connecting on a regional level, getting local. You know, we constantly hear and recognize that all politics is local. We also know that there's a whole global component to that local reality. So, you know, we go from the International Tribunal in 2021 and charging the U.S. with genocide to the People's Senate, where we really spread out across, you know, this terrain, across all of these sites of genocide, and we build with one another and we see one another and really get up on the work that's going on constantly and uplift that work mutually. And so within that vein, here, out here in the Northeast region, the Northeast region as presently constituted in terms of the People's Senate consists of Connecticut, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York. So especially if you're in those areas, those states, this northeast region, but not exclusive to this region because we will be live streaming. But we are having a weekend of activities, July 8th and 9th. Brother Jihad had mentioned the updated, the new and freshly updated website. Huge shouts to all the comrades who made that happen. The site, as was mentioned, is looking strong. Please check us out at spiritofmandela.org. And on there, if you look under the news section, you'll find some of our upcoming events. And I encourage everyone, if you would like for your event to appear on the Spirit of Mandela website, please reach out to us. And the guidance on how to do that is clearly articulated on the site. If you go to the news section of the site, and on there you'll find under July 8th and July 9th, People Senate Northeast Region is having a number of activities, starting with the 8th on that. That's a Saturday, July 8th. We will be having an art show that will include music, poetry, visual arts on the wall. That's going to be in the LES, the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and that will start at 1:30 p.m. So the afternoon of Saturday, July 8th, art show, music. We're just finalizing the lineup right now. We have some incredible artists that are coming through, poets that are coming through, visual art that will be on the wall, food that our comrades are chefing up. So that's going to be just a key build, start things off July 8th, Saturday afternoon. From there, we're going to BK for an anti-4th of July barbecue. So that's also July 8th, Saturday. That starts at 4 p.m. So that continues the weekend of People Senate Northeast activities. So again, Saturday, we start with the art show, LES, music, poetry, some food. Then we shift to the barbecue, 4 p.m., more food, more building. We'll definitely have some music going. That'll be in Brooklyn. All of this information you can find on our website, spiritofmandela.org. And then Sunday, to close out the weekend, Sunday, July 9th, is when we're going to have our political meeting. The political meeting will take place in Harlem, and all of this will be available on live stream. So we can't make too many promises about the barbecue in terms of the live stream, just as far as the equipment and how the space will pan out, but we'll do our level best to be able to connect from there. But definitely, at the very least, the first and third of those activities mentioned, the afternoon art show on Saturday and the political meeting Sunday, will be live streamed for those that are not in the region. But if you are in the Northeast region, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, please come get up with us, because you know, I know y'all heard what was laid out in terms of what the People Senate is about. We're all very clear on the genocidal realities that surround us out here all day, every day, in terms of the environmental racism that goes on, in terms of hyper-incarceration, political imprisonment, medical apartheid, And of course, the police terror that is so rampant and continues to ramp up. So we need to be able to get up with one another and build and prepare and counter this genocide in all of the ways that we know how to. And so that's what we're doing July 8th and 9th. Happy to field any questions, if there are any, about any of what I just raised. And just ideally see y'all out there, and we continue to build. You know, we have to take what we're doing locally and connect up with each other that are in those same locales, and then build more broadly from there.
thank you for that information, and we have been complete in terms of giving the instructions of how do we connect, and it is important that we connect personal, eye to eye, make those events, and Sister Betty, we have added another half hour on. We're going to get everybody in because there is so much to discuss. And so, Sister Betty, give us our next guest.
Brother Tag, do you want to give out a number? I've already shared your information with Sister Karen, but do you want to give do you feel you repeated the website enough so that people know how to link on and join on those days? Are you satisfied?
Yeah, I am, okay. But while I have a second, I'll just add this phone number. Some people prefer the phone. So you have the website, that's spiritofmandela.org. You can always email us at spiritofmandela1@gmail.com. And here's a phone number for the Northeast region. If you're looking to connect with us, if you have questions, if you have a contribution, perhaps you have artwork that we can include on the wall, whatever it may be, let us know. Get up with us. The number is 917-602-4070. And so once more, for any more information, and you can also find this on the website, if you go to the news section of spiritofmandela.org, that phone number is 917-602-4070. And we can't wait to get up with all of y'all, especially those that we have not met yet, but certainly as well those that we already know. And that's what it's all about. We continue to build. Free them all, free the land. Let's be our own liberators.
Thank you so much for that, Sister Betty.
All right. I'm sorry, I'm missing a stitch here. 7785, your mic is open. 7785, your mic is open. Thank you.
Yes, good evening. Good words, good people, saying all the and things here this evening. A couple of things I'd just like to emphasize to everybody. I mean, people are aware of it already, but as we go on with 2 months without a live show here, the next couple of months without a live show, besides, you know, checking you out on BAI on Wednesday nights, it's important for everybody to, like, stay in touch with the Jericho website. To find out exactly what horrors and what, you know, real needs are happening to various political prisoners around the country. So stay up with the Jericho website and get that information from them, because it's really important, especially in the summertime. As has been mentioned before, I myself was in those death camps for 37 years, and especially in the summertime, it's a very hard time to be in captivity. Most prisons, many prisons at least, temperatures are in the 85, 90, 95 degree range day in and day out. Food and things like that are even worse than normal, and so it's just a very hard time to be in captivity, and bad things happen in those months even more so. So stay up with the Jericho website and, you know, do everything we can do. And especially for those comrades, like we're talking about Ed Poindexter. And let's, of course, always remember Mumia. Let's remember Imam Jamil Alameen. Let's remember Leonard Peltier. Let's remember Bill Dunn. Let's remember Eric King and so many others. These freedom fighters, these comrades, they're still there behind those walls, still suffering. And so whatever we can do, we should do. And in light of this last night, I would like to share a poem. I'd like to share a poem by Asada, who would be in those death camps right now if she hadn't been liberated and then given asylum in the people's country of Cuba, where she lives now. But here's some words from Asada, and I'm going to have my comrade Sister Gloria convey them to you.
Right on. Continue.
The poem is called The Tradition by Asada Shakur. Carry it on now. Carry it on. Carry it on now. Carry it on. Carry on the tradition. There were black people since the childhood of time who carried it on. In Ghana and Maui and Timbuktu, we carried it on. Carried on the tradition. We hid in the bush when the master slave, when the slave masters came holding spear. And when the moment was right, leaped out and lanced the lifeblood of our would-be masters. We carried it on slave ships, hurling ourselves into the oceans, slitting the throats of our captors. We took their whips and their ships. Blood flowed in the Atlantic, and it wasn't all ours. We carried it on. Fed Missy arsenic apple pies, stole the axes from the shed, and went and chopped off master's head. We ran. We fought. We organized a railroad, an underground. We carried it on. In newspapers, in meetings, in arguments, and street fights, we carried it on. In tales told to children, in chants and cantatas, in poems and blues songs, and saxophone screams, we carried it on. In classrooms, in churches, in courtrooms and prisons, we carried it on soapboxes, in picket lines, welfare lines, unemployment, our lives on the line, we carried it on. In sit-ins and pray-ins and march-ins and die-ins, we carried it on cold Missouri midnights, pitching shotguns against lynch mobs, on burning Brooklyn streets, pitching rocks against rifles, we carried it on. Against water hoses and bulldogs, against knife sticks and bullets, against tanks and tear gas, needles and nooses, bombs and birth control, we carried it on. In Selma and San Juan, Mozambique, Mississippi, in Brazil and in Boston, we carried it on. Through the lies and sellouts, the mistakes and the madness, through pain and hunger and frustration, we carried it on. Carry on the tradition. Carry strong tradition. Carry a proud tradition. Carry a black tradition. Carry it on. Pass it down to the children. Pass it down. Carry it on. Carry it on now. Carry it on to freedom. Thank you.
All right. I feel Asada with that presentation. I feel the moment. Thank you so much for that, sister. We will carry it on. And hopefully, well, I won't say it. As Queen Mother Moore said to me many years ago, your reward, your only reward will be the people of like mind, progressive people. Hope to see you one day. Sister Betty.
I just want to thank you. I cannot thank you enough for that poem. After hearing Sister Karen speak, that's all I could think about. You know, I think about Ida B. Wells and how that's what Sister Karen is doing. She's trying to carry it on. And I do hope that the Senate, the regional Senate, can be of some support for her. Thank you. Without further ado, we're going back to New York City. I hope our people in New York will hang in there with us. We have extended the time because it is our last show for this season. We'll come back in September. So please hang in with us. Take your coffee if you need to. Comrade Joel, your mic is open. We know you've been doing a lot of organizing. But it's up to you what you want to talk about, because like us, you're all over the place.
Your microphone is open, Joel.
Thank you, everybody, for giving me the privilege of taking part in these discussions and and this forum of struggle, because, again, I have to say it, I've said it before, there is very little else in the way of communication that's going on today that's on the level and seriousness of this program. And I think that we really owe a debt of gratitude to Betty and Ralph and all of those who have started it, kept the momentum going, and the, of course, building momentum over the years before this point. And I think the this idea of the Northeast Senate, and one of the things we hear about it is it's called the Senate, and it means that we're talking about not just doing a spectator sport and not just protesting, but considering our forces, mobilizing our forces in the spirit of actually envisioning ourselves as coming to power and exercising the power that we have right now to pull together people's organization and very important, sometimes things that are neglected in certain ideological segments, but the whole idea of the spirit of Mandela, for example, that spirit is a very important thing, because that's really what keeps people going, and it's what transcends the current realities to the kind of future that we want to build in the real spirit of all of humanity, and based on revolutionary activity to get us there. It's the only thing that will get us there. Right now, we're being threatened by, as was pointed out in the beginning of the show, thematically, we're being threatened now with the end of human survival, and that's one of the things that has to spur us on. That we don't want to say just end it right now. We want to say let's come together and fulfill the mission of building a real human world. But the degree of corruption, the degree of not only corruption in the sense that the capitalist system from the beginning, we have to look at, you know, we talk about corruption, usually it's referring to somebody taking a bribe or something like that in a small instance, but we have to look at the whole corrupt context, the fact that this country is built in such a way that every inch that we stand on is stolen land, genocidally stolen, and still not just stolen as something that happened in the past, but maintaining that reality on the basis of the theft that had taken place in the past and the continued possession and abuse of that stolen property that began this country. Not only the land, of course, but then again, we have to look at all the stolen lives, the stolen people that was stolen from Africa, brought into actual slavery and subjected to the... So when we talk about corruption, this is the overall context, and most of the examples of corruption are actually just small fragments of what continues on that basis. And it's why we have to really continue to build the struggle on a material basis, but also to merge that with the living in accordance with a spiritual basis that's only possible once the relationship of the thieves dominating this entire system. And again, the words thief and so on, these are words that can't even begin to describe the real horrors that are going on right now and are getting worse and worse as we observe it and as we fight to reverse it. It's something that we have to also look at, is that we can't allow ourselves to just drop things, to be afraid or invent excuses based on supporting a dynamic of fear. And worse than fear is the idea of despair, that many people do many brave things that many other people might be afraid to go near. But these brave things get done in because of the basis of keeping hope alive and not falling into despair, because if people begin to think that nothing good is going to happen anyway, then the attempts at really brave actions would be much less likely to take place. So we have to keep watching out for, even though we see the strength of the viciousness of the system and the people who benefit most from it and those who are most brainwashed by the systematic brainwashing, it can look intimidating, but people have gone through a lot worse and have come out with a revolutionary victory, and those victories have not been reversed around the world. Many of them are still there. The Chinese Revolution is still there. The Russian Revolution, there have been many setbacks and disappointments, but it's an area that the ruling class of this country and the major imperialists have not been able to control. Cuba is still standing up right in the face of imperialism. I see they just made a deal with Iran that they're going to stand together and confront U.S. imperialism. And there they've been able to do so. And we have to remember, it's a small country, but it played a gigantic role in liberating the ex-Portuguese colonies and overthrowing South African apartheid. It delivered a military victory at tremendous sacrifice, and it shows what even something that's considered relatively small, a country of 10 or 11 million, has been able to shake the entire world. And we should never think, even down to the individual, that nothing could be done, because one person crying out, one person calling attention to a certain injustice can change the consciousness of the entire world, and that can lead to other bigger and better things. So we have to keep our spirits up, and we have to be clear that what we're aiming at is a world which is free of the private ownership of the ground that we stand on, the lives that we live, our own bodies and souls. This can't be to be dominated by those who have just so much property that they have stolen, that they wrap a lot of the world around their finger just by virtue of how much of that stolen property they've taken away. But as we struggle, justice is prevailing. It's sometimes it seems, well, why is it taking so long? It's just that big things are accomplished over long periods of time, and and the hard way. They won't just fall from the sky, and that's why we have to keep our spirits up. And it was a very exciting presentation that we just heard about this gathering of the Northeast Senate, and going to try to attend that. I have other things going on, but I definitely try to make some room to that, because it sounds like something where the revolutionary fires are being set, and where our minds can begin to focus on the kind of the future that we want, and how we can struggle to get there, and bring ever more people from the ranks of the regular population together to fight the system, not each other. I'll miss this forum, because it's not many places that we get to even a weekly update of the kind of intellectuality and spirit that we hear on these phone calls. So,
Thank you so much for that, Brother Joel. A mission of building a just society or societies, reject fear and despair, in building a revolutionary justice to join others who have done so and had victories in fighting for this. And it's uplifting, Joel. Thank you again. And Sister Betty.
Thank you, Joel. We're going to be staying in touch with you over the summer. We've been looking at the legislation involving COINTELPRO, and I know you write a lot of, briefs to help people who are being attacked by the system, people who can't afford lawyers. So we will definitely be sharing some of that information with you, and we would appreciate your feedback. So you're not getting off for the summer. We got to work, and you're going to have to work too. And we definitely hope you will be joining the Senate, because, Sister Lynn would be there if she could. So you'll represent Sister Lynn. And thank you again for getting on. We're going to go right along. And people, we've extended the time. Brother Henry, thank you for hanging in there. We know you're close in age like us, and we appreciate you. Your mic is open. Please, enlighten.
Thank you, Sister Betty and Brother Ralph, and all of our friends and comrades and people who struggle for a better world. The other day, several days ago, Fox's Sean, no friend of ours, Hannity, arrogantly suggested that blacks and other people of color should always comply with police commands. In response to this fascist suggestion, I'd like to share with our audience a poem written by Sister Julia Wright in the spring of 2021, dedicated to Dante Wright. No immediate relationship, I think, but she wrote in response to his being brutally murdered, in effect, during a traffic stop. And it also calls to mind other victims of police genocide over the decades, like Clifford Glover, Sandra Bland, George Floyd, Tyree Nichols, just to name a few.
And Henry, Wright. I understand our Shiro warrior, Sister Walker, Gail Walker, they had the nerve to arrest her in Washington, D.C.?
I heard something to that effect, but I don't have the details. Of course, her father was very instrumental in maintaining contact with Cuba. Usually, every year they would have these Cuba caravans to support the Cuban Revolution, and it wouldn't be outrageous but not surprising that the powers that be would arrest her. That organization has been in existence for, I think, at least a couple of decades in support of the Cuban Revolution, and the demand that Americans be allowed to travel to Cuba to support that struggle. The Cuban Revolution is vital and remains to be vital to the freedom-loving people of the world.
And that corrupt and so, Mendez, who represents a corrupt district in Jersey, is, as you say, it is no surprise. The Cubans in Jersey have been there a long time. The Cubans, the real Cubans throughout, the revolutionary Cubans got rid of them a long time ago. And they are, what would you say, brandishing the dying Cuban philosophy of race superiority. But excuse the interruption. Go ahead.
Not at all. I'm always reminded of years ago, Elambe made the remark. He said that when Africa called, Cuba answered. And the Cuban response was the strongest of all. And that's important because we must always support the Cuban Revolution in their right to survival and the struggle to end the blockade. I mean, it's a criminal blockade that each administration has maintained ever since the revolution itself became successful. And this poem
we
is
people of color are amiss in that we have not stood up to say justice for our revolutionary comrades. We have not stood up. We licked that stick that we spoke of earlier of the Democratic Party because, well, I won't go into it because I'll be into name-calling. But, Henry, tell us what you have started to give us.
Yes, indeed. This is to Dante Wright by Sister Julia Wright, and we wish her a speedy recovery. She's a priceless warrior on our behalf. To Dante Wright, he had never believed in Santa Claus, so the bullet was no real surprise. Clinging to the steering wheel, there was no false hope of a last-minute mistake. He knew. We know. For the last 9 minutes and 29 seconds of his air-freshened gasp, he rear-viewed the dancing cardboard Christmas trees of his impossible childhood going up into the fire today. We know he knew. And that's the gist of her poem, but it suggests that look, we're subject to police fascist attacks, and in addition to the government itself, so we must resist this temptation to be eliminated and to be forever imprisoned.
Well,
and I'll just end it right there.
We thank you for that, Henry. And I think we're going to call on Ann Lamb to see if she has any update on when Sister Gail's hearing is going to be coming up. Right now, we have Boston in the house. Jericho, Boston Jericho, your mic is open. And then we're going to have a special report, I hope. The brother is still hanging in there to give us an update on the African burial ground in Brooklyn. It is a horrendous struggle. And so we need to hear that report. Brother Kazi, thank you for joining us. We miss you. Your mic is open.
All power people, how you feeling, Ralph? Sister Betty?
Yep, he's hanging in there. He's hanging in there,
okay,
so am
good.
I. Just tired.
Every time we turn around, there's another struggle.
We had to go down and protest this so-called mayor. I would trade the one Karen has for the one we got anytime. And that's how bad he is. Okay, he's trying to take our health plan now. All right?
They're going to take everything, Betty, sister. You know, they're gonna try to take everything. We have to, you know, carry on. You know, just like sister said in the poem a little while ago. But I'm down here in Atlanta, and I was at the conference that Jahai was at, and he talked about. And I got a brother sitting here, young brother Tunde. I like him to give a little report back on what happened there.
Yeah, peace, everybody. My name's Tunde. So You know, I'm with Community Movement Builders, and we hosted the National Black Radical Organizing Conference here in Atlanta, Georgia, in an effort to bring together Black radical organizers from all over the country, all over the nation, in a single location to discuss the pressing issues of our liberation struggle. So the theme for the conference was Unity in Our Lifetime, connecting the national Black struggle for self-determination with Pan-Africanism. And one of the main objectives of, you know, this past weekend's gathering was really to just, you know, bring together an intergenerational group of Black freedom fighters, right? There were hundreds of people, hundreds of organizations represented, like Brother Jihad mentioned. He presented on the People's Senate, and, you know, there are a number of panels. There were keynotes. There were workshops, presentations, and discussions that really examined a number of issues. We had, you know, discussions from, you know, on repression and political prisoners, discussions about Pan-Africanism and you know, neocolonialism, you know, discussions even on things like, you know, how the 501c3s, the nonprofits, are impacting the liberation struggles. There are a number of different conversations that can all be viewed on Black Power Media on YouTube. And really what we were able to see was that, you know, there's a real need for us to build together, right? We need to strengthen the unity among our forces, and efforts like the People's Senate, our efforts to do that. And so we wanted to just, you know, help facilitate the strengthening of relations and these structures that are meant to build unity. And then even facilitate the creation of new structures, right? And so, you know, we think there's an objective need for a gathering of this sort in the midst of the deepening crisis that we're in, right? Some of the biggest challenges these days are, like, you know, getting organizers and activists in person and into one room to discuss these vital topics that affect us as a African or Black nation, both domestically and globally. And, you know, some of those challenges are connected to, you know, the types of activism brought on by, like, the COVID pandemic and communication technologies. So, you know, we know organizations are really grappling with these challenges across the country. But, you know, it's really clear that in this historical moment, you know, there's a kind of a demand that our forces gather together to work out our strategies and really build independent power, because, you know, the logic of the deepening crisis suggests that, you know, more repression, more austerity, and the violation of our individual and collective human rights is really at the center of the agenda, the repressive agenda of this U.S. state of our enemies, right? And so, you know, that was kind of the goal of this conference, and really we heard a lot of great feedback that, you know, we met our goals. There's some, you know, work to be done following, including, you know, building on some of the structures that were discussed and some of the proposals that folks made. And so, you know, we hope to share more about those in the coming days and weeks. But, yeah, you know, we're hoping that this will elevate our struggle to higher and higher levels, and we think we're well on our way.
Well, thank you so much for that. And thank you, Brother Kazi, because we know wherever Brother Kazi is, that's where the revolution is. And we will continue with your theme of togetherness and struggle. Sister Betty.
I want to remind everybody that regardless of any results this evening, Charles Barron will be on our WBAI program tomorrow. And those of us in New York know how much he has done for our political prisoners. I will be very hurt in spite of our horrible switchboard and technical issues. You don't... to call in. If you text me and you're getting ready to call in, I will definitely put it on the chat of our tech so he will know we know you're trying to call in. And Kazi, I know Charles would love to speak to this young warrior, and I cannot thank you enough. You've lifted my spirits by connecting him with us tonight. Thank you so much, Kazi.
Right on, sister. All right, right on, man.
All right. We have a special report from one of our comrades, without whom we probably would not still have our African burial ground. Brother Corazon, is it too late for you to give us a few words, an update on the African Graves Matter organization and the African burial ground that we are struggling to keep in Brooklyn?
You know, like, I'm on the computer and all.
Hello?
Can you, we can't hear you.
You can't hear me? Hello?
Yes, much better.
Hello?
Keep it at volume.
Okay.
It's louder. Very good.
Okay, good. Oh, well, thank you, Sister Betty and Brother Ralph, for inviting me to the platform and hosting this. So I know it's getting late, and I just wanted to briefly call in and, like, for the burial ground in Flatbush, African burial ground. Like many others, there's a strong call for, like, radical gathering, especially in person, to help upend the status quo of what's been happening through these oppressive systems that we're facing
fading.
These times.
You're fading. Stay in the mic. Stay in the mic.
Oh, okay. Is this better?
Yes.
Okay. So, like, what normally happens when land falls into, the jurisdiction of New York City parks. So the brief update is just that last week, Saturday, there was an attempt to have the first New York Parks-led community engagement to start gathering input from the community as to what should happen at the space. There was someone there who did show up who spoke very strongly about this being a project that should be Black-led and have nothing to do with the government. And they were, kind of scared off, and which surprised me. They left. But I got to speak with one of the two of the people who were involved with the project who did stay behind for a few minutes. And I was getting the impression that they do have kind of their ideas of what is going to happen there anyways, and that everything else is just them going through the motions to say that they did what they had to do to
pacify
us, I guess. Yeah. However, I really wanted to call in to just say that anyone who's local to Flatbush, who has family in Flatbush, or anyone connection to Flatbush, who's really interested in boots on the ground and doing something for, I'm not even sure, like, what words to use. Like, just, I wanted to share my information because I just want to, like, blast this, like, all over the place. It really needs, like, all hands on deck. And I just was going to give you my phone number. And so it's 917-415-5578. Again, that's 917-415-5578. And I do have an email address. It's Corazon, Coraz, like zebra, O-N, at madewithlove.com. And so that's madewithlove. Is duh.com. So,
okay, thank you so much for that. Yeah. And I'm a phone person myself. I say, don't text me, don't email me, call me, because it's the number that I will answer. 917-415-5578, and that is the burial grounds on Church and Bedford. And what do the burial grounds represent? The burial grounds represent our history. And whenever they're able to do away with any of the burial grounds or to cover up, to turn into a parking lot, any of our burial grounds, they are destroying our history, and we must not allow it. And you have just heard one of our warriors preserving our history through the burial grounds. And I will say, I know I will be talking to you in the 2 months that we take off from this radio program. Sister Betty.
What I want you people to understand is even though this young warrior has a full-time business and he's an entrepreneur, he always made sure that the burial ground was clean. One of the things the city tries to do is to treat our burial grounds as if it's abandoned, vacant lot. And he and Sister Nzinga, who's been on our call from time to time, were very vigilant in cleaning and taking garbage and anything that was thrown around the burial ground away so that the city would see we have occupied this land. These are people who were captives of the Dutch, and the cemetery that their masters, their owners, had is a block away. It has tombstones. It has a garden. It has a fence, and it is a well-kept-up cemetery. These are some of the richest first capitalists in this country. Brooklyn was a slave farm. That's what Brooklyn was. That's why it's called Flatbush. That's a Dutch name. So we hope that, and Brooklyn, if you spell it with an E-U, that's a Dutch word. We're hoping that people will, even if all you do is send a note to community school district, community board district 14, and tell them you will not understand if our ancestors are disrespected and they destroy that cemetery. And this young man and others, as elders, we couldn't always be there in the rain and the snow, but he was. And so we thank him, we appreciate him, and we hope that you'll find some way to support him. We will be sending out more emails and photographs. Before we turn the mic back over to Brother Ralph, we have some people who usually like to listen in. 0264, did you want to say a few words? 0264, did you want to say a few words?
I don't have
cash out. Remember calling it. I assume that she doesn't say anything. So we're going to ask Sister Ann if she has any update on just what the status is for Gail Walker. Do you know anything approximate time when her hearing will come up? Because I do believe she was arrested.
Yes, she was arrested along with several other people from the National Network on Cuba and Code Pink, Women for Peace, and, of course, herself. I know that they are not being currently detained, and I'm sure they have a court date at some point in July, but I have not been able to find exactly when that court date is. I'm looking at IFCO's Facebook page right now, so they haven't posted it yet. But they do have a nice picture of people getting arrested and what it was all about. And you can watch a video of her being arrested for attempting to peacefully meet with Bob Menendez, one of the main, you know, sponsors of keeping Cuba on the so-called countries that support terrorism list. I don't understand why the United States is not on a list of countries that support terrorism. But, you know, that's another whole conversation.
Well, that's
Gail. Yes, sir.
Because the United States is the ones who make the list. And the most important thing on the list and the United States daring. And I'm saying the thing that gets to me most, if people want to get to me most, is to suggest that I'm stupid, that I don't see anything. And what we have is that whole question of whatever we do, somebody else told us to do it. We don't know anything. Fannie Lou Hamer, I thought she put that whole nonsense to rest when she said very clearly, very plainly, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Did that not tell you something? We don't have to go into the examples of people being lynched, people being burned while they're alive, body parts being cut off as souvenirs. Well, we don't have to get into all of that. We know we are in trouble. We know we look to allies. We know there was a Underground Railroad. We know there was an abolitionist movement. We know there were collections of people around the world who, after coming to America from around the world, participated in the abolition of slavery, in the movement to abolish slavery, and they were not all of African descent. We have a fine history here in America of people of goodwill, brothers and sisters of goodwill, who risked it all for others, for justice, to stop a system that was obviously incorrect. And we must follow that example that they gave us, because what we understand in America, what they tell us, is all politics are racial. Well, that's what they've set it out to be. That's what it has been for a long time. But we are moving into a very dangerous period in world history. Mm-hmm. Our own history, the history, yes. What's to follow in New York. Very dangerous. As Mao Zedong told us, that this economic system of capitalism, when it is in decline, will lash out.
Yep.
And we see it is lashing out against anyone who resists. It is lashing out against young people in Atlanta who resist. It is lashing out against those who say we have to save the planet. It lashes out with these sentences, draconian sentences. They are called terrorists. They enhance called a terrorist sentence. To give people more time. And so we must fight this. We must be aware of what's happening, and we must resist. Sister Betty.
I see Brother Jihad is still with us. Did you want to give us our closing out in our walking papers, Comrade Jihad?
Well, thank you, Sister Betty and Brother Ralph, and everybody that got on. It's just, not only are we giving our own report, I so much appreciate how we validate each other. That means that is a statement of unity that we don't see enough in our movement. So the comrades and sisters and brothers that got on and gave their own reports, validating each other, acknowledging each other, this is, do not take that for granted. This is a profound statement and example of what our unity and supporting each other is all about. So I just wanted to say, Sister Betty and Brother Ralph already referred us to the Wednesday program, and so we don't want to be remiss. If you cannot be on, please share the link with your friends, your family. There's so much wealth of information. We need this. We have to institutionalize what Sister Betty and Brother Ralph are doing. And there's other podcasts and programs across the country. The Senate will put us in contact with each other. We will be a network that they will not be able to defy. They will have to deal with it. And this is what we want to do. We have the template. We have the institutions in the making. Ralph, Betty, other podcasts, Dr. Jared Ball, many, many others. We just heard the brothers, Kazi and Tunde, get on from down there in Atlanta. And it's so much happening, sisters and brothers. But you know what the key is now? Moving forward, we have to capitalize off it. We have to keep in contact with one another. We have to continue to support one another. And really, 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 it doesn't take that much effort. It's all about consistency. So I'll leave you with that. Our prayers and support. We have the Jericho.
Just
contact Ann Lamb or our website or the Spirit of Mandela. And I thank you, comrades, and love and respect to everybody. I am at your service.
Well, thank you so much for that. and I can have no think of a better ending of our program. And good night, my brothers and sisters.
See you in September, or see you every Wednesday on WBAI.
And that's tomorrow, 99.5 on your FM dial. Tune us in.
8 p.m. Eastern Time. And Brother Jihad and Brother Tag, please, please contact Sister Karen. I'm worried about her. Thank you.
Indeed.
And
definitely.
Then you see and agree where we may.